This is the final share of the series, and I just wanted to thank Rabbi Sacks one more time for coming and for inspiring us with his Torah. The Chavad Gadol of Sacks. Okay, thank you very much. I wanted to conclude simply with discussing various aspects of Kedushas HaMikdash, and particularly the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. There, as you know, you find a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban that we discussed earlier, and that is that how you enumerate the many mitzvos involved in building a Mishkan and building a Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes earlier in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Chav, there is a single mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash Veshachanti Besochan, and contained in that obligation is not only the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but all of the requisite kelim are also subsumed under that heading. The mitzvah Vosli Mikdash is to have a fully furnished Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash together with the Klei HaMikdash. The Ramban disagrees and argues that is not the case. There really is no independent mitzvah of creating the kelim themselves. Why is it necessary to have any one of the particular kelim? Very simply, for the purpose of avodah. And therefore the Ramban writes that in Sefer Mitzvos I will count mitzvos, I will not count a hechsher mitzvah, and therefore if something is merely a preparatory stage, that is not to be counted independently. And therefore the Ramban writes, I will count the mitzvah of hadlokas haneros, but I will not count a mitzvah of forming the menorah. I'll count the mitzvah of lechem apanim, but not the mitzvah of creating the shulchan. And therefore the Ramban writes, I agree with the Rambam's view that you don't count all the kelim independently, but not because it's all subsumed under vosle mikdash v'shachanti besocham, but rather that each one of the kelim is simply considered to be a hechsher avoda. A hechsher mitzvah is not to be counted independently. And in the earlier shir we mentioned that perhaps this fits in so beautifully with the Rambam and the Ramban's description of what the essence, what the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is. The Rambam terms the Beis HaMikdash as a base avoda. If it's a base avoda, that's what the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Chav, you understand very well that all of the kelim that are necessary for the purpose of avoda are not independent mitzvot. So that's part of Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti Besochem. The Ramban, however, writes quite differently. The very beginning of Parshas Truma, a theme that we highlighted yesterday in the keynotes, that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is Hashras Hashina. Churban HaBayis is Hester Ponim, Golos Hashchina. And therefore the Ramban writes that the essence of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is not a Beis Avoda, but rather a Beis Hashchina. And therefore the Ramban explains that one could have envisioned the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash being fulfilled even without particular kelim. Even if you didn't have a menorah, still the Mikdash would be a place of Hashras HaShchina. And therefore, the Ramban argues, I'm not going to argue that you don't count these independently, because after all, they're part of Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. The Kedushas HaMikdash can exist even without kelim. I will agree that you don't count them for a very different reason, and that is the need for any particular kli is simply a hechsher mitzvah. We mentioned that the Ramban is found in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, because that is the mitzvah that the Rambam counts of Levishas Bigdei Kohuna. When the Kohen prepares himself for Avoda, he dons the Bigdei Kohuna. The Rambam writes the Kohen fulfills an independent mitzvah, a mitzvah of Levishas Bigdei Kohuna. And the Ramban creates that analogy, that just as there is no mitzvah to create the menorah, the purpose of the menorah is simply preparatory stage in order to facilitate avoda, isn't the same thing true, the Ramban writes, when it comes to the need for the kohen to don the Bigdei Kohuna? Why is it that a kohen wears Bigdei Kohuna? Very simply, it is a hechsher mitzvah. It is a hechsher avoda. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim Yud Zayin, Bizman Shebigdein Alehen, Kohunasan Alehen. If the Kohen does not wear the Bigdei Kohuna, he cannot perform the Avoda. There's a mitzvah of doing Avoda and wearing Bigdei Kohuna. The Ramban writes, the name of Halachos Kedolos is only a Hechsher Avoda, a Hechsher Mitzvah. So whereas the Rambam counts Levishas Big Day Kuna as an independent Mitzvah, the Ramban writes that is not true, it is merely a Hechsher Mitzvah, a precondition in order to perform the Avoda. The Ramban even goes a step further and argues if you grant the view of the Ramban, then wearing Big Day Kuna is considered to be an independent Mitzvah. Why is it a single Mitzvah? Why shouldn't there be three different mitzvahs? The Ramban asks. A mitzvah for a typical Kohen to wear Big Day Kuna, a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to wear special Big Day Kuna, and then a third element, and that is the Big Day Lavan that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom HaKippurim. Once you're going to argue that Levisha is a mitzvah, so why is it only one mitzvah and not three separate mitzvahs? The Ramban entertains that Kiddush, the possibility wearing Big Day Kuna is a separate mitzvah for the Kohen Hediyot, for the Kohen Gadol, and a unique mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, who is wearing Big Day Lavan, not wearing Big Day Zahav throughout the entirety of the day. So therefore, this is the view of the Ramban. Wearing Big Day Kuna is only considered to be a Hechsher Mitzvah. There's even a further possibility. If you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon does not divide up the mitzvos merely mitzvos asei or mitzvos lo asei, but a very different classification. Rav Sadia Gaon has mitzvos or parshios hamutalos al hatzibur. There's certain communal obligations. And in the context of that, a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the tzibur, there the Ramban counts the mitzvah of Big Day Kohuna. And Yeruchim Perlow, in his Pirush, the Sefer Mitzvah of Rasad Yigon, explains why is that the mitzvah which is incumbent upon the Tzibur? Isn't it the mitzvah on the Kohen to don Big Day Kohuna? And he suggests, interestingly, that according to Rasad Yigon, the mitzvah is not Levishas Big Day Kohuna, but the mitzvah is Asiyas Big Day Kohuna. It's necessary to fashion the Big Day Kohuna. And that is not an individual obligation, but the tzibur has to see to it that you have the necessary Big Day Kohuna in order to allow for the avoda to occur. So one view of Sadia Gaon, there's a mitzvah of Big Day Kohuna, but it's a mitzvah of Asiyas Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam's view, there's a mitzvah of Levishas Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam's view is that no, that Levishas Big Day Kohuna is not a mitzvah at all, but rather it is a Hechsher mitzvah. It is simply a necessary preparatory step in order to do the avoda. The fact that the Rambam writes that when the Kohen wears Big Day Kohuna, that itself is considered to be an independent mitzvah, we mention that this fits in nicely with another Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Ketzad Seder Levishas Begadim. What is the necessary order that the Kohen dons the Big Day Kohuna? And the Rambam writes that first you put on the Michnasayim, and then the Ksones, then the Avnet, and then the Mitznefes. That is the necessary order. Ketzad Seder Levishas Big Day Kohuna. You know what is striking about that Rambam? That there is a Seder Levisha. You don't find throughout the Gemara that there is a particular order regarding which the Kohen has to wear Big Day Kohuna. What you do find is what the Gemara tells us in Yuman Dav Chav Beis, and that is when the Torah describes the Michnasayim, the Torah states the Michnasayim are placed al Basara, immediately against the flesh of the Kohen. And therefore the Gemara writes that the Michnasayim come first. That's all. But the Rambam writes a great Kiddush, and that is, it's not simply the Michnasayim are first, but rather an entire order of Levisha. Michnasayim, Ksones, Avnet, and Mitznefes. The Rambam has a prescribed order which the Kohen is obligated to put on the Big Day Kohuna. And Minchas Chinuch is quite bothered by this. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tzadites. Where do you see that there is a Seder Levisha? Even to the point that the Minchas Chinuch writes that perhaps there is no Seder Levisha. The Rambam just mentions the order that the Big Day Kohuna presented in the Psukim, but not necessarily that the Kohen has to don the Big Day Kohuna in that fashion. No doubt that that point of Minchas Chinuch is quite difficult. The Rambam writes, Ketzad Seder Levishas Begadim, seemingly explicit, that this is the necessary order to wear the Big Day Kohuna. And one perhaps could even raise the following question. You know, even the Rambam admits that the Kohen is only allowed to wear the big day kuna for the purpose of avoda. Even to the point that the Rambam writes the following. You know, we know that some of the big day kahuna, the avnet and the choshen, the ephod, contain shatnez. And therefore, isn't it unusual that the Kohen is allowed to wear big day kahuna? If the Torah would not tell us this, I would have argued that, you know, impossible. How can you take semer and tishkin to form the big day kahuna? Well, obviously, right, that is allowed. That is the description of the big day kahuna. But the question is a fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and Rav at the very end of Hilchos Kalayim, Perek Yud Halacha Lamed Beis. Why is it mutter? Why is it that the Kohen is allowed to wear a big day kuna? Obviously that's the case, but what is the vehicle? What is the tool by which this is allowed? The Rambam writes the following, that, you know, we have a principle, right, throughout the Torah of an essay dochalosasei, that which is dechuya, that sometimes there is a mitzvah which can override what otherwise would be an aveirin, essay dochalosasei. And that's how the Rambam seems to indicate is true when it comes to big day kahuna, that it is the mitzvah of avoda that overrides the isra of shatnez. And that is what leads the Rambam to the following conclusion, that, you know, the dispensation that a kohen is allowed to wear big day kahuna is only while he is doing avoda. And if the kohen will don big day kahuna aside from avoda, or even if he'll continue to wear the big day kahuna shalo b'shas avoda, the Rambam writes, lo ke mipnei ha'avnet shabo. The Rambam writes, the Kohen will get malchus daraisa. There is no heter for the Kohen to wear the big day kuna outside of the timing of the avoda. You know, obviously he has to put it on a little bit before, and he has to wear it a little bit afterwards. After all, you can't just simply put it on the second you do avoda. But aside from that narrow window, the Kohen is not allowed to wear big day kuna. And the Rav disagrees, maintains that's not true. The fact that the Torah describes the big day kuna containing shatnez, that means that this is a built-in exception, a built-in exclusion to the role of shatnez. It's not that there is an isser of shatnez which is lifted during the moment of avoda, but rather objectively, big day kuna are excluded from the isser of shatnez. And therefore the Ravid's view is the Kohen is allowed to wear big day kuna even shalo b'shas avoda. This perhaps is a classic example, one possibility of chutzra versus dechuya. Why is it that the Kohen wears the big day kuna? It's because when push comes to shove, when necessary, when there is no option, then the mitzvah of avoda takes precedence. Or do we assume that no, that even at a time that one is not doing the avoda objectively, big day kuna are excluded from the iser of shatnez? You find, for example, the same achlokas Rishonim, Tosfos discusses at length, what about shatnez and tzitzis? In fact, the source of essay dochalosei is that the Torah tells us you can't wear shatnez, but gedilin tasalach, tzitzis can contain shatnez. If you have a linen garment, you're obligated to affix tzitzis. And when you have tcheles, tcheles is not merely a color, but the strands of tcheles must be wool. And here you're affixing wool tzitzis to a linen garment. Isn't that shatnez? The Gemara says, yes, that's true. But this is a model of essay dochalosasei. So Tosfos, for example, discusses today, the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. What about at night? If you don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, as Tosfos describes, are you still allowed to wear that garment with tzitzis affixed to it? After all, you're violating shatnez without the mitzvah of tzitzis. What happens if a person is exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis? Women, for example, would they be allowed to don that garment in that fashion when there's nisr of shatnez? What happens if I borrow a garment? Because the Torah tells us, gedilin tasalach, that the garment must be yours to be chayv min hatorah in tzitzis. All the cases when one is not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, so there's no obligation to do so, would you still argue that there is a dispensation to wear the beged that now contains shatnez? Today, as in Tosfos, is that butcher, is that considered to be dechuya? That is my focus between the Rambam and Ravid when it comes to cases of big day kuna. You know, intuitively, maybe one would argue there's a marked difference between big day kuna as opposed to Tzitzis and Shachmas, because after all, Big Day Kahuna by definition must contain Shachmas. There is no other option. The clash between Big Day Kahuna and Shachmas is not incidental, but it is necessarily so. When it comes to Tzitzis and Shachmas, you know, one could argue it's not that Tzitzis by definition entails Shatnez. A person can have a wool garment with wool tzitzis without encroaching at all on the issur of shatnez. There is a circumstance where one could envision that is the case. If you have a linen garment with wool tzitzis, then you can envision that clash. But perhaps one could argue as follows. When the clash is true by essence, by definition, that seems to be more reminiscent of Putra, no? Built in. That is true by definition. If someone will ask me, how is Yibum possible? Isn't there an Isra of Eshesaf, you cannot marry your sister-in-law? The simple answer would be, as the Ramban writes, that Yibum is a built-in exception to the Isra of Eshesaf. Yibum only occurs when there is otherwise an Isra of Eshesaf. The more inherent something is, the more inclined one is to assume that it is putra. The more incidental the clash, then you would argue, what do I do now? In this circumstance, you have a mitzvah, you have an avera, so which takes precedence over the other? For that, you have to invoke an essay del chalosa snake. That's why it's a chiddush, the Rambam's view, that no, even when it comes to kilayim, the kohen only goes ahead and wears the big day kuna b'shas avoda, not before and not after. So the Ravid writes, I disagree. I maintain that Big Day Kuna by definition is excluded from the Isra of Shatnez. And then the Ravid asks another question. The Rambam writes, if the Kohen will go ahead and wear Big Day Kuna, he will get Malchus, Loka Mipnei Ha'avnet Sheba. The Rambam picks on the Avnet. The Ravid raises another question. Why only the Avnet? Is the Avnet the only one of the Big Day Kuna that contains Semer and Tishtin? Certainly not. It is true of the Avnet, but it's also true of the Choshen and true of the Ephod as well. So why does the Rambam write Avnet? Well, what happened to the Choshen and the Ephod? But they slowly points out the answer is as follows. Isn't there a marked difference between the Avnet as opposed to Choshen Ephod? Avnet is worn by a Kohen Hedyot as well, but Choshen Ephod is only worn by the Kohen Gadol. And that perhaps is a marked distinction. If I were to ask, why does the Kohen Hedyot, or why does the Kohen Gadol wear Big Day Kahuna? The answer for the Kohen Hedyot and for Kohen Gadol is not the same. Why is it that a Kohen Hedyot wears Big Day Kahuna? The answer is Avoda. It's a precondition of Avoda. Without that, you cannot do Avoda. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol wears Big Day Kahuna? Avoda? You mean because sometimes the Kohen Gadol does Avoda? And therefore it's necessary to wear Big Day Kuna. That is true. But the reason that the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Kuna is not merely in order to perform Avoda. The Torah describes the Kohen Gadol wearing Big Day Kuna as L'ratza Mifnei Hashem. That secures kapara. This is what we call Ritzui Tzitz. When the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Kahuna, it serves as a kapara. That's the sugya in Zochim and Achneches. And therefore the following, if the license for the Kohen Hedyot to wear Big Day Kahuna is only as part of Avoda, that's what the Rambam writes, a Kohen Hedyot can only wear it for Shas Avoda. And therefore, if he breaches that halacha, there's Shatnez, but the Avnet, Chosh Nefod is Kohen Gadol. The Rambam admits that a Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Day Kahuna all day long, because after all, when the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Kuna, that secures kapara for Knesset Yisrael. That's the concept of Ritzui Tzitz. And that's why the Rambam writes only the case of Lokam Ibnei HaAvne Shebo and mentions nothing about the Choshen or the Ephod itself. But when it comes to a Kohen Hedyot, the Rambam there is clear, you can only wear it when necessary. When necessary. So I'll ask you very simply, when you look at that Rambam, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash Perek Yud, the Rambam writes that there's a Seder Levisha. What is the Seder Levisha? Michnasayim, good. Chabad Ksone is good. Third, Ephod. That's difficult, no? After all, that the Ephod is the problematic Begin. That contains Shatnez. And you're only allowed to wear it, the Rambam writes, when absolutely necessary. Not a moment earlier. Only when necessary. So if I were to tell you, what order should the Kohen wear Big Day Kohen? I would have said, look, order? I'm not sure. But one thing is clear. The Avne should be last. Last? The Avne is not last. How can that be? See, if you argue that the Rambam understood that there's a Seder Levisha, the mitzvah requires this order. It's not a kashra at all. There's a Seder Levisha, and therefore, the Torah says that this is the order. So therefore, the Kohen doesn't have that leeway to put it on in any other sequence. But, if you argue that in Chasinuch does, that this is not really an order. After all, where does the Gemara say that there's an order? Really, the Rambam should not be taken so literally. Then I would argue if there is no need to don the Avnate earlier, one must put on the Avnate last. All this indicates that certainly, according to the Rambam, there's a Seder Levisha. And you know why there is a Seder Levisha? Because the Rambam assumes, unlike the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kuna. See, if there's a mitzvah, it's very reasonable to assume that there is a Seder HaMitzvah. Where do you have a mitzvah without a Seder? Every mitzvah that we have has a requisite order. How is the mitzvah performed? There's a seder to the mitzvah of chalitza. There always is a seder to mitzvah. If you're arguing that something is only a heksher mitzvah, a heksher mitzvah means just see to it that you're wearing big day kuna. Then perhaps one could argue that the order in which you put on the begadim is not necessarily that which is so critical. But this is the Rambam's view, that ketzad seder levishas begadim. So one machlokas, the Rambam in Halachos Gedolos, is there a mitzvah of levishas big day kuna? The Rambam writes that yes, there is a mitzvah of donning big day kuna. Halachos Gedolos writes no mitzvah, it's just simply a hechsher mitzvah. And then you find a further machlokas between the Rambam and Halachos Gedolos. Let's assume, for example, the Kohen will do avoda mechuser begadim without wearing the necessary big day kuna. He doesn't wear the big day kuna, or he only wears one of the big day kuna, not all four of the big day kuna. That, of course, is an iser of mechuser begadim, and in such a case, the avoda is mechuleles, the avoda is invalid. If you look in Halachos Gedolos, interestingly, Halachos Gedolos does not count the mitzvah of Avishas Big Day Kuna. That's only a Hefsha mitzvah, but the Baal Halachos Gedolos does count an Isser of Mechuser Begadim. And also say Samach A, that the Kohen will violate an Isser Daraisa if he does not properly wear the Big Day Kuna. And here the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam has a mitzvah of Avishas Big Day Kuna. The Rambam does not have an Isser of Mechuser Begadim. And the question is, why is that true? Why is it that the Rambam does not have a prohibition of Mechuser? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it clear in the Gemara that there's an Isser Misa Bidei Shamayim? If a Kohen will do the Avodah without wearing the Big Day Kohen, of course it's forbidden in HaTorah. It's fascinating that the Rambam does not count this independently. The Rambam himself, right, answers this question. Why is it that there is no Isser of Mechuser Begadim? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash as well as in Perek Yud Tes of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam answers as follows, an interesting Chiddush. Of course it's necessary for the Kohen to wear the Big Day Kuna. And if he doesn't wear the Big Day Kuna, he violates in his Torah, the Avodah is invalid. Why is that true? Because the Rambam writes that Harehu Kizar Sha'avad. Because if he doesn't wear the Big Day Kuna, he doesn't have the necessary Kedushas Kohen La'avodah. He doesn't have the proper level of Kedusha. In other words, as the Gemara writes in Zvachim Yud Zayin, Bizman Shebigdein Alehen Kuhunasin Alehen. Kohen has to do Avodah. What does it mean to be a Kohen? The Rambam writes, it doesn't just simply mean that your lineage is out of the Kohen, but you have to be a Kohen who wears the Big Day Kohuna. When the Kohen wears the Big Day Kohuna, it's Mekadesh, the Kohen La'avodah. And therefore, if the Kohen fails to wear Big Day Kohuna, he's like a Zar Sha'avad. In other words, it's not an independent Isser of Mechuser Begadim, but he lacks the Kedushas Kohen. And that is an Isser of Zar Sha'avad, that the Rambam, of course, counts in Sefer HaMitzvos. Tosus even writes that Big Day Kohuna have the status of a Kli Sharis. That's what Tosus writes in Zvachim Chav Dalet. Kli Sharis. In other words, what is the purpose of Kli Sharis? I take all of the ingredients of the mincha, for example, I put it in a Kli Sharis, and now, right, it becomes invested with Kedusha. The Kli is Mekadesh. That's what Tosfos writes is true regarding Big Day Kuna. Big Day Kuna has a status of a Kli Sharis. It's Mekadesh the Mekadesh the Kohen. Without the Big Day Kuna, the Zman Shabig Danalein, Kuhnasan Alein, the Kohen does not have the requisite Kedusha in order to perform Avodah. And therefore, that is considered to be the Rambam's view. It's not an independent issue. I'll give you a fascinating parable. The Gemara writes, the end of the second parak of Sanhedrin, that a Kohen has to have a Bris Mila. If the Kohen does not have the Bris Mila, he cannot perform Avodah. Where do you see that this is true in Chumash? Is there any pasuk that tells us explicitly? Of course, a Kohen must have a Bris Mila. Everyone has to have a Bris Mila. But where do you see that that's a precondition of Avodah? And without that, if a Kohen is an Orel who does Avodah, in such a case, the Avodah is Mechulelos. Where do you see that this, in fact, is necessary? So the Gemara writes as follows. You're right. It's not found in Chumash, but it's a Halacha Moshe Nisina. This is a tradition that we have, but it's not found explicitly in Chumash itself. You know, normally speaking, when you have a Halacha Moshe Nisinai, if a person violates Halacha Moshe Nisinai, there isn't usually an onesh of Malkus. Because in order to get Malkus, it's necessary to have an explicit prohibition. The Torah has to use one of four terms, either lo, hishomer, pen, or al. And if the Torah tells us, do not do this, lo, hishomer, pen, or al, then there's Malkus. If the Torah tells us not to do something, but it doesn't formulate it with one of these terms, but rather it's written, right, as an essay, la'olam behem tavodu, that's what we call lav haba mechlal essay, an isra essay, there's no Malkus. Because Malkus is, A, the Torah tells us explicitly, but B, it uses terminology of Yisr. Lo hi shamar pen in al. Still, if you have something which is Halacha Moshe Nisina, the Rambam writes, normally speaking, there is no Malkus at all. Here the Rambam writes in Perek Vav of Hilchos Bias HaMikdash that if a Kohen Orel does Avodah, he gets Malkus. He gets Malkus. And that's somewhat surprising because it's only Halacha Moshe Nisinai. Halacha Moshe Nisinai, there's no Malkus. Rashi, for example, writes, if a Kohen Orel does Avodah, there's no Malkus. But the Rambam writes that there is Malkus. How can there be Malkus? Where is there a Pasuk that tells us this is considered to be Pasuk? The Rambam himself answers the question. The Rambam writes, the very same line that the Rambam writes when it comes to Mechusse Begadim. The Rambam writes the following. You know why a Kohen Orel is not allowed to go and do Avodah? The Rambam writes, because Dino Kizar Shavan. He doesn't have a Kedushas Kohen. In order to have the Kedusha of a Kohen, you have to have the Yichus of a Kohen, that's true, but you have to have a Bris Mila as well. Without the Bris Mila, you lack Kedusha. No, that Pashup Shat is not only true of a Kohen. That's true when it comes to Yisrael as well. After all, Bris Mila is part of the formula of Geirus, the Sugyan Christus and Daftes, that now, in order to infuse a Kedushas Yisrael, Bris Mila is considered to be necessary. Bris Mila is not merely a mitzvah, but it is a mikadesh. No, it alters the status of the individual. Perhaps that's why two brachos are recited on Bris Mila. The bracha that the Mor recites is on the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's clear. And what exactly is the bracha of Lahachnisa B'Briso Shel Avraham Avinu? That bracha sounds as though there is much more that is occurring than simply a Maisa HaMitzvah. It's a Knisa L'Bris. Lahachnisa B'Briso Shel Avraham Avinu. In other words, that present in the act of Bris Mila is a Tosefes Kedusha, that now the individual is Chosum Ba'os Bris Kodesh, and there's no longer the status of Arel, that transformation. Isn't that an indicator of Tosefes Kedusha? And that's what the Rambam writes. Of course, the Kohen who is an Arel cannot do Avodah. It's a Halacha Moshe Nisinai, but not a new Halacha Mechadeshes, but rather Halacha Mefareshes, an extension of that which exists. A fascinating view of the Rambam, that Mechusse Begadim as well as Orel are not independent psulim, but rather all of this contributes to the Kedusha of the Kohen Lavodah. Bizman Shebigdein Olehin, Kuvunasan Alayan. This perhaps could help understand another Rambam. There is a Rambam. This is found in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash Perek Tes, where the Rambam writes as follows. Let's assume you have a person who's doing, right, avoda with multiple problems. Multiple problems. Let's assume, for example, a zar does avoda mechusar begadim. There's an isser for a zar to do avoda. There's an isser for a kohen to do avoda mechusar begadim. So the Rambam writes, if a zar will go ahead and do avoda without wearing the big dekuna, he's not a kohen. So the Rambam writes, he gets one set of malchus. One set of malchus. Why exactly is that true? The Kesef Mishnah seems to say something that's somewhat difficult, because maybe one could argue as follows, that the Isser of Mechusar Begadim was only formulated by one who otherwise could do Avoda. Someone who is excluded from Avoda, there's no Isser of Mechusar Begadim. So therefore, if a Zar is Mechusar Begadim who does Avoda, there's only one violation of Isser, Zar, and in such a case, there's only one set of Malchus. Why? Because this Mechusar Begadim is only formulated regarding one who otherwise could do Avoda. Maybe one doesn't have to explain it in that fashion. One could explain very simply as follows. You know why a Zar who's Mechusar Begadim only gets a single set of Malchus? Maybe much more simple. And that is that the Rambam understands that the Malchus of Mechusar Begadim is not a separate Isser, but rather you don't have Kedushas Kohen without Big Day Kohen. In other words, the Isser is the Torah's Zar. So again, a Zar who is Mechusar, it's one Isser. It's one Isser of a Zar Shavad. And therefore, there is a single set of Malchus. That's an interesting Kiddush. There's a fascinating story that Mordechai calls. The Mordechai saw the Masechus Gittin in Os Tuf Samach Aleph, where the Mordechai writes the following, that Maisa B'Kohen Shiyatzak Maim Al Yad Rabbeinu Tam, that there was a case that a Kohen went ahead and washed the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. And one of the Talmidim who was present, right, asked Rabbeinu Tam the following, that how is that possible? Aren't you abusing the Kohen? No, he quoted Yerushalmi, Hamishtamesh the Kohen Ma'al, right, using the services of the Kohen inappropriately. That's a form of Ni'ila. No, that's transgression, taking something which is hektish and using it for the purpose of Chol. And Rabbeinu Tam answered as follows, no, Bizman Shabigdain Alehen, Kunasan Alehen. That was the answer of Rabbeinu Tam. No, it only applies when the Kohen's wearing Big Day Kohen, as though the Talmud understood, you only have to be Mechabed the Kohen when he's wearing Big Day Kohen. So the Talmud asks, what do you mean? V'kidashto? Don't you always have to give deference, kavod, to the Kohen, only when he wears Big Day Kohen? And Rabbeinu Tam did not answer. He didn't answer. The Mordechai describes that Rabbeinu Peter answered and said, what do you mean? Right? Of course there's v'kidashto, but a Kohen can be mochel. And if the Kohen is mochel, it's his kavod to serve or to provide a service for Rabbeinu Tam. In such a case, there is no issur. So what exactly was Rabbeinu Tam's response? Unusual. No, bizman shebigdein aleihen, kuvnasan aleihen. And then the Talmud asked, and what about kavod in general? Rabbeinu Tam didn't, he was stumped. He didn't answer. Isn't it obvious? Rabbeinu Peter argues, mechila. Posh of Shas and that Rabbeinu Tam really is as follows. You know, the Talmud did not ask that what right do you have to accept the service of the Kohen, the Chibato, the Kidashto, there's a mitzvah to mechabe the Kohen. That Talmud quoted a Yerushalmi that Hamishtamesh b'Kohen Ma'al, there's an Isser Me'ila. That's what Rabbeinu Tam answered. Me'ila? Me'ila is only Bizman Shebigdein Aleihen Kuhunas Aleihen. And then the Talmud said, what about Kavod? That Rabbeinu Tam was obvious. Kavod is Nitan Mechila. What Rabbeinu Petra said was obviously true. But that was a fascinating story, again, that's quoted, that Bizman Shebigdein Kuhunas Aleihen is Mekadesh the coin that one could speak about in Isser of Me'ila in that particular sense. There is an interesting issue that the Or Sameach raises in Perakei Tochos Klei HaMikdash. It's somewhat of an ethereal chakira, where he raises the following. You know, there's a Kohen Hedyot, and then there is a Kohen Gadol. Good, we understand that. How do you understand the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol? Is it an entirely different track that there is Kedusha of Kohen Eliyahu, and then there is an independent Kedusha of Kohen Gadol, and therefore these two Kedushas do not intersect at all? Or maybe one could argue that no, that the Kedushas are incremental, that they're building blocks. In other words, that you have the Kedusha of Kohen Hediot, and then built on top of the foundation of Kedusha of Kohen Hediot, there is a Tosefes Kedusha, right? A difference in degree of a higher level of Kedusha, not necessarily a difference in kind. Now, it's an interesting Hakira, so to speak. Now, how do you view the Kedusha of Kohen Gadol? Kohen Hediot plus, incrementally? Or do you argue that no, that this is a different type of Kedusha entirely? And Or Sameach writes that there's a fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and the Yerushalmi. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Vav as follows, that you know, that the first time the Kohen is tapped to do Avoda, it's necessary that the Kohen has to bring a special carbon, a type of chinuch. It initiates the Kohen for Avoda. So therefore, right, you don't have to do that every single time, but a Kohen has to bring an Asiris Ha'efa in order to commemorate the first time that he is doing the Avoda. The Rambam raises, right, the following issue. Well, let's assume, for example, that this Kohen never did Avoda. And all of a sudden, right, he's tapped to be the Kohen Gadol. He's chosen to be the Kohen Gadol. No, not so long ago, a person was not at all a Havdil, a justice, and he became the Chief Justice. Now, sometimes you can leapfrog. Now, the person never did Avoda. All of a sudden, right, is the Kohen Gadol. Is it necessary to bring two Karbanos? Or a single carbon? That's what the Rambam discusses. Do you, I don't even have a Kedushos Hediot Lavoda. So therefore, incrementally, step one, go ahead and bring Masiris Eifa to assume the role of Kohen. And then you can assume the elevated status of Kohen Gadol. Or do you assume that no, that is not the case? The Rambam writes the Chiddush, he has to bring two carbonos. And Perakei Azokos, Klei HaMikdash, that he has to go ahead and have two different karbanos at that time. One to assume the status of a Kohen Hediot Lavoda, the other to assume the status of a Kohen Gadol Lavoda. In the case of Mishnah says that Yerushalmi holds that's not true, that one karban is sufficient to become the Kohen Gadol, although you can become a Kohen Gadol without ever having being a Kohen Hediot that was Raya Lavoda. So as Sameach writes, that seems to be the Smachlokes. If it's a different kind of Kedusha, maybe one karban is considered to be sufficient. If it's building blocks, if it's incremental, so first thing first, right? One step at a time. First you have to bring the carbon to assume the Kedusha of Kohen Hediot, and then you can continue. And he writes, fascinating, that perhaps this is based on the following machlokas, the very beginning of Maseches Yuma, and that is the shared Big Day Kohen Hediot and Big Day Kohen Gadol, the shared garments. Are they identical? Are they not? A Kohen Hediot wears an ephod, and a Kohen Gadol wears an ephod. Are they similar, or are they distinct? And Rav Sameach thinks that perhaps that is the issue in question. If the Kedushas Kohen Gadol is a different kind of Kedusha entirely, then even the shared begadim could be distinct. But if you argue they are incremental forms of Kedusha, maybe then one could argue that, look, that if it's a shared beged, they're identical, and then in addition to those begadim, the Kohen Gadol has to don the additional Big Day Kohen Gadol. The Rambam writes that the Avnet of the Kohen Hedya, the Avnet of Kohen Gadol are the same, they both contain Shatnez, they're the same Avnet, meaning it's an incremental Kedusha. Or Sameach suggests that fits in very well with the Rambam's two Karbanos. Incrementally, you have to assume the role of Kohen Hediot Lavoda, and then you can become the Kohen Gadol Lavoda. But an interesting possibility in terms of understanding, right, the relationship of Kohen Hediot and Kohen Gadol. You know, when we think of the Big Day Kohen Gadol, the Torah refers to them as Kavod, the Tiferes. No, this is considered to be a Pe'er. It's considered to be an adornment. Now, it's similar, for example, to the tefillin It is worn by each and every member of Knesset Yisrael, not just simply by the Kohen La'avoda. After all, the tefillin is described as being a pe'er, the pasuk in Yechezkel, pe'ercha chavosh alecha, and the big day kuna that are considered to be l'chavod u'l'sifares. In fact, the Rush points out that just as an ovel b'yom rishon is not allowed to wear tefillin, so certainly that a Kohen who's an Ovel cannot don the Big Day Kohuna. After all, the Torah refers to Big Day Kohuna as a Pe'er, the Chavr L'Sifares. There's no Pasuk in Chumash that refers to Tzulin as a Pe'er. That's a Pasuk in Yechizkel, Pe'ercha Chavosh Alecha. So Midivrei Kabbalah, we know that Tzulin is considered to be a Pe'er, but the Torah tells us explicitly this is true when it comes to Big Day Kohuna. Big Day Kohuna is considered to be a pe'er. And this is a stunning contrast. This is what Tosus points out partially. The Tosus and Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel Amadeus. Tefillin is a pe'er. It's an adornment. And what about talis and what about tzitzis? Here, the Gemara uses an unusual term to describe tzitzis, and that is chosam shel tit. Chosam shel tit, a seal of clay. That is what the tzitzis is supposed to represent. What exactly does that mean? So Tosfos explains as follows. This is simply pshat in the Gemara. That, you know, when a person is an Eved has an Adam. And therefore, it's normal for an Eved to have a certain seal, a certain indicator that he is an Eved of this particular master. And just as that's true of an Eved, this is true of each of us, and that is the role of tzitzis. Tzitzis is considered to be, Tosfos writes, a beged of avdus. That's the chiddush that Tosfos writes. Tzitzis is a beged of avdus. And tefillin, percha chavosh alecha, is considered to be not a beged of avdus. That's a beged of malchus. That's considered to be l'chavod l'siferes. So it's interesting. When we wear the talis and the tefillin, really they are two very different elements of our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That on the one hand, the tzitzis is reminiscent of our role as an eved, and the tefillin is percha chavosh alecha. No, that we are a ben melech, avinu malkenu, in that sense. And that's what Tosfos writes, is that fascinating contrast. What is striking, perhaps, is as follows. You know, when we think about avdus, we think about something that is mandated, something that is obligatory. An eved must. No, an eved has a choice. The Adam says, this is what you must do. Right? An eved has little discretion to say yes, to say no. No, an eved is obligated to obey. When you deal with, right, malchus, pe'er, kishut, and adornment, that one could consider, you know, that is something that one can opt into. That is something that is considered to be voluntary. And yet the contrast of tzitzis and tefillin is quite the opposite. Now, that the Torah demands that we wear tefillin. But the Torah doesn't necessarily insist, right, on tzitzis. No. If you opt in, if you wear a beged of dalat kanfos, then you're obligated. If you choose to wear this garment, then yes. And if not, then not. There is an easy escape clause. But when it comes to tzitzis, it is not true when it comes to tefillin. It's unusual, no? It's as though that the Torah demands that we see ourselves in the vision of Malchus, Percha Chavosh Alecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyocha requests that we see ourselves as being an Eved. That's unusual, no? We think usually of Avdus as that which is obligatory and that which is mandated. That's true when a person is an Eved to a Basar Badan. But the Avdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is Avdus as we've often discussed, Machmas Ava, when a person opts in to become an Eved. Now, on the Pasuk of Nasev Nishma, the Sforno writes that what is Nasev Nishma? Avdus, no? An Eved who is Meshamesh Asarav Shalo Amanas Lakabo Pras. And Rashi writes in Shabbos Taf Neches that what is the significance of Nasev Nishma? Kederech Sha'osim Me'ava, Rashi writes. Now, that ability, Nasev Nishma, now that at once is Kederech Sha'osim Me'ava, and that is considered to be an indicator of Avdus. See, when it comes to a Basar Vadam, we don't associate avdus with Ava. That is uniquely our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, lo kein avdi Moshe, b'chobesi neman hu, to be an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the highest praise. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you have to opt in to that type of avdus. Perhaps those are the two aspects of anas evenishma. We opt in to Kabbalah's avdus. It's a fascinating possibility. You know, a couple of weeks ago I had mentioned the ritzia of the Eved, that we pierce the ear of the Eved, and I explained one aspect of the timing. If it's because of Ozan Shoshama lo signal, why do you pierce now? Right? You should have pierced years ago when the Eved stole. But one could even raise the issue on the other side as well. Maybe you'll tell me no. The reason you pierce the ear of an Eved is because Ozan Shoshama yivi b'nei Yisrael avodim. Avodayim. And therefore, you want to remain in Eved. So therefore, the ear is pierced. But even there, one could raise the question of the timing as well. No? Oz and Sheshamat Libni Salavadim, when did this person decide to become an Eved? Now. He didn't become an Eved now. We're talking about a case of not the Nimka Vignei Vosso, that he was sold Al Yidei Bezdin. We're talking about a case of Mocheres Atzmo. A person decided to become an Eved. No, immediately, when a person decides to become an Eved, why don't we engage in Ritzia? No, we don't do that. We wait years. And then years later, when he decides just simply to continue being an Eved, all of a sudden now you engage in Ritzia. Just a couple of weeks ago we were bothered by the timing of Oz and Shoshama lo signo, but this is also difficult. Now, even if it's Oz and Shoshama ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, now, he decided to become an Eved years ago. Why do you pierce the ear now? And perhaps this is exactly the answer. Rosh Hashanah once explained as follows. Why did he become an Eved years ago? What was the motivation? What caused him to become an Eved? Now, the Torah tells us, Ki yamuch achicha. That's what the Pasuk says. Ki yamuch achicha. A person is down and out. A person is in dire straits. A person is fraught with despair. It's not appropriate that a person should become an Eved, but nonetheless, one understands that a person in that condition can opt into Avdus. All of a sudden, a person remains as an Eved for 6 years, and he is given an opportunity of Cheres, and now he decides to remain an Eved, remain an Eved. Why is he remaining an Eved? Here the Pasuk does not say, because he's fraught with depression and desperation. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, the person says, you know, I want to be an Eved, ahavti. Es adoni ishi yuvanai lo etzei chavshi. This Eved. This is the first time he expresses avdus machmas ava. Not avdus machmas dochak. I'm in dire straits, I'll do something out of desperation. A person who becomes an Eved Machmas Ava. That's where we turn to the person and say, no, that's only Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. Avdus Me Ava, that's unique. That's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avdus Me Dochak, that we can envision. Ahavti Es Adoni, an Eved Machmas Ava, that requires Ritzia. Only then are you encroaching on the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when you require Ritzia. Perhaps that's the beautiful confluence of Talis and Tefillin. We wear the Tefillin which is a Pe'er, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists. And the fact that we don the Talis, that we have to express a certain measure of Ava. We have to opt into, right? The Inas of Nishma. We have to do so with our own initiative. There's no chiyuv to do so whatsoever. But to opt in almost voluntarily on our own volition, that is kederech she'osim me'ava. So at once, right, it's a big day avdus, but it's not mandated. Kadosh Baruch Hu demands that we see ourselves as b'nei malachim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol requests that we assume the role as an Eved Hashem, comparable to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not only true of Tilin, of Big Dekun, of Talas, but this is true of Avodas Hashem in the broader sense, in Mikdash, and even Big Vulin. The privilege of being an Eved, of Lokein Avdi Moshe, to be able to assume the mandate of a Ben Melech and yet at the same time to recognize our role as being an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Eved failed to realize. Ahavti es Adonai, that requires that sense of Metziah. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be Zocha once again to be able to witness that type of Mara Kohen, all the tefillos that we discussed in yesterday's keynotes, to be able to see once again the Hashras Hashchina of Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Baruch Hashem, we're so fortunate. The Chastei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us opportunities in Golos to be able to thrive and to be able to be Osek in Torah. The difficulty that we have, I've often mentioned, of experiencing the bitterness of Tisha B'Av, because Baruch Hashem, the freedom that we have is a Matnas Hashem. But at the same time, to realize this is simply a taste of what we could envision and the relationship we could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of overt Gilui Shechina. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be Zoche to that type of Gilui Shechina, to be Eskol Tzedo, to be Beis HaMikdash, Be'erev Yamina. Yeah, I'm not going to name it again.